Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice. As often as we have time, and we do have a little extra time here on this Tuesday afternoon, July the 17th, we'd like to respond to our listeners listening at all places and all times past and present to questions and comments and show suggestions and criticisms that they leave for us on the Issues Etc. comment line. It's a simple comment line that we leave open 24/7 for our beloved on-demand listeners, really for all of our listeners, but because so many listen with that time lag on their podcast, on our podcast, doing what they do, jogging, mowing the grass, cleaning toilets, cleaning the kitchen, whatever they're doing, they're listening to Issues Etc. They don't always have a chance in real time to ask a question or make a comment. That's why we have the Issues Etc. comment line. The number 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. It's the Issues Etc. comment line. And up first on this Tuesday afternoon, a question about when and how to apply that term Christian.
Hello, this is Kurt in Norman, Oklahoma. I was listening to your response to the emailer who took issue with Terry Mattingly talking about the importance of getting Obama's faith right, and it brought up a few of my own questions. You remind the emailer and also give your agreement to Mattingly being in favor of calling President Obama what Obama calls himself, Christian, and that we can speak about his faith and his religious identity in relation to being a member of the United Church of Christ, and also because he has, quote, consistently professed faith in Christ. The emailer briefly brought up Mormonism. So my question is, by this standard, wouldn't we also have to call Mitt Romney a Christian? If Mattingly is saying the general rule is to call people what they call themselves, do not Mormons push so hard for people to refer to them as Christian, since in today's world they call themselves Christian and even claim to profess faith in Christ? But yes, I see the problem with this, since we would say Mormon teaching does not believe the historic faith of what it means to be Christian, and their founder certainly didn't claim to be Christian, and they don't really have a true faith in Christ, unquote. So what is the objective standard, and how are we to judge whether someone should be able to have the label of Christian? If a church body or our own president gives the gospel on occasion and professes to believe in Jesus, but in the next breath rejects the law and the forgiveness that is in Christ by giving approval to those who engage in homosexual acts or approving of and pushing for the continued murder of the unborn, is this enough of a false belief to not refer to them as Christian? What are our rules as Lutherans for whether or not we can or should refer to someone as Christian or not? Thank you very much, and keep up the good work.
It's a very good question. Now, if you remember our conversation with Terry Mattingly of GetReligion.org on that subject, centered around whether or not people believe that our President Barack Obama is a Christian or a Muslim. That was the kind of the locus of that conversation. And that's why both Terry and I were at pains to say, look, he has never claimed to be anything other than a professed Christian. We use the term professed Christian because that's a way of kind of qualifying it by saying, look, he says he's a Christian. So let's call him what he says he is. And Terry had a litany of the evidence there. And so primarily, we were trying to dispel the myth that continues with a sizable minority of the American population for some reason, that our president is not a professed Christian, but in fact a professed Muslim. And there's no real evidence for the latter. So that's what we were trying to respond to there. Now, as to what Terry did was he said the question really isn't whether or not he claims to be a Christian. The question is, what kind of Christian is he? And of course, there we have broadened the definition of Christian beyond just the creedal faith of historic Christianity. Now we're saying in more of a cultural sense, because some of these things become purely cultural, what kind of a Christian is he? Is he one of those people who says, I'm a Christian, but what they mean is, you know, I belong to a church that's more Christian than anything else. We have some kind of affiliation to Jesus Christ, and we probably have our roots in historic Christianity. And in that sense, we got to say, if we ask what kind of Christian the president is, by his own admission, by his own affiliation, as Terry Mattingly concluded, he is a member of the most liberal wing of American Protestantism that it's possible to be a member of and still call yourself, in some sense, Christian. To call yourself, in some sense, Christian. So we afford him the respect to say he says he's a Christian, not a Muslim. Let's affirm that he is a Christian. What kind of a Christian is he? Let's look at his track record. And his track record says he's about as far left in the spectrum that could be called credibly Christian without being Unitarian. Something in that neighborhood. I think that's where we were going. Now, as opposed to the Mormon question. Mormonism has no roots in historic Christianity. It is, by its own history and its own admission, a complete break with historic Christianity. It considers Christianity to be apostate. Its teachings far false. It's not just within the spectrum that could be credibly called Christian. Its teachings fall outside that spectrum on virtually every point. The person of Christ, the Trinity, all of those things in their public teachings. So it's a different question. Mitt Romney may want to be regarded as a Christian within the spectrum of Christianity, but he can't make a credible case for that. President Obama can make a credible case for that. There's the difference.
This is Volunteer Paul in Milwaukee with thought concerning the Friday, July 13th introspections on the merits of LPR issues, etc. operations from a caller, an emailer, and the issues, etc. staff. To make issues, etc., even better, I ask listeners to consider taking up the volunteer vocation themselves. LPR is a gospel outreach, but it is also a supporting business with bills and a payroll. Remember that only the listeners can take it off the air. How could you help beyond sending in your money and prayers, remembering about muzzling the ox? You have a brain and a back. Put the staff to the test and ask it. Those in the St. Louis area, as a practical matter, have the greatest opportunity. Why help? Peter and John, doubtlessly wrestling for the souls of the part of the world called the Sanhedrin, said, Acts chapter 4, "We cannot but speak the things that we have heard and seen." Thanks for your ear.
All right, thank you. And very encouraging words from one of our listeners to the rest of our listeners. He's quite right. Issues, etc. is entirely listener-supported. And as we've often said for the last 4 years, yes, 4+ years now only our listeners can cancel us. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse. She wants to talk about something that you may have seen in the New York Times. It comes as a revelation, perhaps, to the New York Times editorial staff and to the reporter who wrote the long story there called Two Classes Divided by I Do, that there are economic benefits to marriage, something Jennifer has known for a long time. We'll explain her perspective on it right after this.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Why didn't Lutherans abandon many of the worship practices of the medieval Roman Catholic Church? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July is Faith and Act, the Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more about Faith and Act at issuesetc.org. Faith and Act, the Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.